But take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 2. This is the great Christmas story. I was pondering as I was thinking about my message a moment ago. I wonder how many times the Christmas stories are going to be read this Christmas around the world. Think about that. Think of everyone that's going to sit down between now and Christmas and read the Christmas story. It'd be a good idea for some of you to take your Bibles home, and maybe on Christmas Day, maybe before you do anything else, is to open your Bible to Luke chapter 2, and this is probably the most familiar text in the Bible on the Christmas story, and just read the Christmas story. Now, we're going to read down to verse 20 tonight, and I want you to ponder a few things that takes place in the Christmas story. I want you to think about the people and the place and the purpose of Christmas. Maybe not quite in that order. I think it's really the place, the people, and the purpose. But I want you to think about that tonight. And if you can pick out the place, then you can maybe put that in your mind. And then pick out all of those that were there to celebrate Christmas, all of the people that God brought together in a very miraculous way. And then think about this. What's the purpose of Christmas? I mean, do we have Christmas because we're just going to celebrate and give gifts and have a Christmas tree? But what is the real purpose of Christmas? Now, how many of you think you know, before we get into the sermon, how many of you think you know tonight, what do you think the purpose of Christmas is? Now, don't speak it out. How many of you think you know what the purpose of Christmas is? Got a few ideas? Oh, look at that. There's a few ideas. A few of you think you know what the purpose of Christmas? Do you think it's about? Do you think it's all about Christmas trees? That's the fun part of it. Is it all about giving presents and getting people to give you presents? No. There's something more important than that. Something that should mean more to us at Christmas than anything else. And we're going to look at that purpose of Christmas tonight. In verse number 1 of Luke chapter 2, the Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, even people in Trinidad. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was the angels, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from then into heaven, the angels said one to another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which is to come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they brought with haste And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they were made known abroad, the saying was told unto them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told of them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I want us to think tonight about the story. And as we look at the story, I believe that we can learn something when we consider what the shepherds did. Now, you know, a shepherd's job is to watch his sheep, right? And during the night, the first Christmas, the angels came and they gave him the good news. They gave these shepherds the good news. Now, what's interesting is that angels very seldom in the scriptures are allowed to even have anything very much to do with the gospel. But that night they told the shepherds enough about what was taking place that the shepherds understood this wasn't just any night. Something had taken place that night that they had to tell the whole world. Now, you know what? Just like the shepherds, we have a responsibility to follow in their footsteps. And I believe that we should be like the shepherds and make haste to find the Lord at Christmas time. Not just the presents, not just finding friends so we can have some food and some holiday cheer, but I think that we as the shepherds, we ought to leave everything that we're doing for just a few moments and find the Bible and maybe look and find the Lord once and for all. Just say, you know what? I want to find out what Christmas is all about. And like the shepherds, I want to find the Lord. And I believe we do this, first of all, by finding the place. Because of the place, in verse number 4, what an interesting little place Jesus was born. The Bible says, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Now I have on the screen here a picture of what Bethlehem looks like today. Now that doesn't seem like a very big or important little big town, does it? You wouldn't think that anything of any significance would come to Bethlehem. But in God's timing, long before Jesus came to this earth, God promised through the prophets that through Bethlehem, the King or the Messiah, the King of the Jews, would come. Listen what takes place now. Years before Jesus was ever born, long before there was an internet, before there was television or cell phone, any communication, listen what the prophet Micah says. He says, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that should be ruler in Israel, whose going forth had been from old, from everlasting. Now think of this, boys and girls. Think of this, young people. Think of you that have gathered here tonight at the Aruka Baptist Church, that God had planned the birth of Jesus long before anyone really understood anything about what Jesus was coming to do. Now think of that. Even to the point that God picked his town. Now some of you, how many of you live right here in the village, around the village of Aruka? Pretty close? Well, we live pretty close, don't we, huh? We drove a few miles, but we live over, I guess we call it, what is that? Kelly Village. Now, do you think anything of really importance could come from a little town called Bethlehem? Now, think of that. God said to these shepherds, I want you to know that something special is happening tonight. This is not like any night. And to be honest with you, boys and girls, young people, do you understand this, that when Jesus was born, Everything in the world changed from that point. Everything. Because of what took place there in Bethlehem, the whole world was changed. 2,000 years ago, everything changed after the birth of Jesus. In John chapter 6 and verse 35, Jesus says unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that comes of me shall never hunger, but he that, that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now the reason that that's important is because the word Bethlehem means house of bread. So long before Jesus came, God picked a little village for him to be born in so that it would represent that he would be the bread of life. Now we know that we don't eat Jesus, but what he's talking about, Jesus' words are the bread of life. It's what Jesus says and what we believe about Jesus that changes everything in our life. And 2,000 years ago, in a little village called Bethlehem, God picked a little small, primitive, backward place, miles from Jerusalem. Could have been Jerusalem. It could have been a very famous city. But no, it was Bethlehem, because that's what the prophet said. The prophet foretold it would be Bethlehem, the house of bread, that the life of bread would be born. And so that's why we need to learn to do as the shepherds did. And that's find the Jesus of Christmas. Find him because of the place and what it represents. Secondly, we need to be like the shepherds and find the Jesus of Christmas because of the people that were there at his birth. Now, I don't know all the shepherds' names. Any of you know any of the shepherds' names? I don't know all the shepherds' names. Matter of fact, I don't know the first shepherd's name. I know who my shepherd is. Amen. I know that Jesus is the great shepherd. But because of the people, now look at verse 8 and 9 of our text. The Bible says, and there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock. And lo, an angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. I mean, can you imagine? These shepherds were out on the hillside minding their own business. Their sheep were probably asleep, laying down at night, and all of a sudden, they see this bright light. They hear the angels tell of what's taking place in Bethlehem, and they say, look, we're bringing the news to you first. Now, why would you pick the shepherds to tell first? Well, I think there's lots of reasons. Back in Psalms 23, the Bible says, the Lord is my, what's the next word? Shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. So Jesus said, when he was born, he is the good shepherd. And so he came not just to Bethlehem because of the house of bread, he being the bread of life, but he picked shepherds to tell the good news, the tidings of good news, because they were the people that were going to represent to the world what he was to be like once he started his ministry. He is our shepherd today. He watches over us. Now, many of you, when you go home tonight, guess what? You may go home, and you may go and get in your bed, and you may think you're all alone. But guess what? If you know Christ as your Savior, you're not alone. He is your good shepherd. And so he's the good shepherd, and guess what? He watches over you. He protects you. He's the good shepherd. He is also the bread of life. And so we, like the shepherds of that day, we need to find the real reason for Christmas this year. Find the Lord of Christmas because of the place, because of the people. Now, we noticed that we had the shepherds identified, but the Bible refers to Jesus as the good shepherd, but also think of the angels that were there. Now, I'm using people with a little stretch here for alliteration, but the angels were there. Now, why would God use angels to tell the good news? If you study your scripture, this is really the only place in the Bible where the good news or the word gospel is given to an angel for at least a summary of the delivery. Angels can't preach the gospel. Angels can't go and become missionaries. They had one job that night. You know what that job was? To tell the shepherds. And guess what they expected the shepherds to do? To tell someone else. And guess what they expected the person that received the good news to do? To tell somebody else. And guess what they were supposed to do? Anybody know? To tell someone else. And then what were they supposed to do? Tell someone else. And guess what they were supposed to do? Tell someone else. And guess what that person's supposed to do? Tell someone else. And guess how long it took for someone to tell Pastor Jimmy and Pastor Eric? And guess what Pastor Jimmy and Pastor Eric are supposed to do? They did what they were supposed to do. They came all the way from the United States to Trinidad, and guess what they're to tell you? They're to tell you the good news. And guess not what your job is? To tell someone else. That's what Christmas is about. See, we came, we heard the news, so we've got to tell you. Someone else told us the news. Now, that's been going on for 2,000 years. Think of that. 2,000 years, the story's been repeated over and over and over and over and over and over again. And it was the angels that brought the good news. That these were created beings of God to glorify the Lord. Their job is simply to be the messengers of the Lord. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 7 that when Jesus was born, He was born even lower than the messengers that were to talk, that were to tell His birth. He says, "And thou madest Him," being Jesus, "a little lower than the angels, crownest Him with glory and honor, and did set Him over the works of thy hand." You know what it means when it says that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels? Not that He was shorter than the angels. Not that the manger was lower to the ground than the angels, so the angels were probably up in the sky delivering the message. It means that Jesus became a man. That's what it means. See, we are not as high up in the hierarchy of God as angels. We're not up as the angels are. We're down here. We're down on our planet Earth. Jesus became a man, lower than the angels, and guess what He came to do? He came to tell of God's love. He came to be the sacrifice on the cross, a little lower than the angels. See, an angel can't die on the cross for our sins. But no, Jesus' job was to come a little lower than the angels so that He might have a body to be the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of the world. But then there was someone else. There was another group of people there. That was the wise men. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." Now, out in front of our church, I pastor in the States, and after we have a holiday in November called Thanksgiving. And after we celebrate that holiday, everyone puts up their Christmas decorations. And we were putting up our Christmas decorations one year, and we had all of the wise men sitting out there, and we had them, all the figurines all set up, and we put the hay, we made all of the manger scene, we put the angel up. Then we brought the three wise men out and set them up, but guess what happened? Every time we set one of the wise men up, he fell over. Every time we would set him up, he would fall over. So you know what one of the men said in the church? "He's a wise guy." You get the joke? In New York, everybody's called a wise guy if you don't behave yourself. So we said, "You wise guys, you got to become wise men." So we propped them up and got them all straight, so that they could be the wise men that they were supposed to represent. Now, how many of you would like to be wise when you grow up? What's the opposite of wise? Huh? Dumb. Who wants to be the dumb guys? That's what a wise guy is. But a wise man, the wise men were there. They had been following a star. The Lord showed them all the way back from where they were from. They were probably from what we call today modern Iraq and Iran. And they were coming all the way from there to Israel, to Jerusalem, because they were following the star. Now that star was made especially for Jesus over the place where Jesus was born, to guide those wise men to go and bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts of honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we go as the wise men did to find the Lord Jesus Christ of Christmas. Now these wise men came, and they were called wise because of what they did. You know the story. Herod wanted them to go back and tell where Jesus was. But they were wise enough to know that Herod meant no good for Jesus. You know the story. Herod wanted to find out where Jesus was so that he could kill the baby Jesus. Aren't you glad they didn't go back and tell Herod? Aren't you glad? Well, sure, because we wouldn't have a Savior today if it wasn't for that. But not only the people, not only the place, but let's get to the last point tonight, and that's the purpose. In verse number 30 of Luke chapter 2, Simeon the priest here is doing his course. As most priests did, they had a course of about 30 courses, and it was his time now to be the priest in the temple. Now the Lord had told Simeon a story a few months before. He said, "Look, Simeon, you are not going to die until you see the Messiah." Now, how many of you know what Messiah means? It means Savior. He's the Savior. Now, so Jesus is the Savior, right? So Simeon has the idea, I'm not going to die until I see the Lord. And so the purpose of Christmas is seen right here in this verse. Here's what Simeon says. He says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Well, that answers the question. What's the purpose of Christmas? To bring salvation. It's not so much about presents. It's not so much about what we do at Christmas. Jesus had to come so that we could have salvation. Now, the question that Pastor Holland wants to know is this. How many of you tonight have the gift of Christmas in your heart? How many of you know you've got Jesus in your heart? See, that's the whole story of Christmas. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, if you don't know that your sins are forgiven and that you're on your way to heaven, guess what? You really can't celebrate Christmas right. You really don't understand about Christmas yet. Because the purpose of Christmas is that we might have a Savior and that our Savior might make an impact on our life. He changes our life. Now, I want us to think about that right now for just a moment as we close. The most important thing about Christmas is the purpose of Christmas. God had to send His Son, made Him lower than the angels, so that He would be a man like you and I, so He could go to the cross and die, so that we might have salvation.